Huh?
And the list goes on down the line. And the list goes on.
One day, Jimmy Van will consider shutting the fuck up while the mics are hot before this show.
This is a perk of FightfulSelect.com that you get with your monthly subscription. You get to hear me not give a shit when we're about to go live for The List Goes On. That's part of your monthly benefit.
Will they ever get you back in the spaceship room that you had when we first started?
We
need to do a throwback show.
I could. That's on the other floor. I could go back there and do one if you want.
Yeah, it is. It's it's a floor or two down, right?
Two floors down.
There you go. See, I still know my way around Toronto.
So knowing my office, you know the city like the back of your hand.
I know it perfectly.
There you go. Okay, so I posted something on Twitter about AEW Dynamite last week. I didn't think that it would really get any reaction. Turned out that it did get a reaction. So I wanted to talk about it, and I just want to preface, this is my opinion. So if people don't agree, that's cool.
People buried it, didn't they?
No, not at all. Oh, really? Not at all, no. But this is my opinion. So I'm watching Dynamite last week, and I couldn't help but feel that outside of the upper card people, so outside of, you know, Punk, MJF, Wardlow, Britt Baker, The Elite, Darby Sting, outside of those people on that episode of Dynamite, I didn't find anybody compelling, anything that anybody was doing. I didn't find a reason to care about any other talent. I found that the character development and the storylines being attributed to the non-upper card people leaves a lot to be desired. And I felt that AEW, they like to inject either surprises or they'll throw like a main talent into a segment in order to pop the crowd, because I don't know if they know that things are lacking, but it was noticeable. So, you know, guys like Dante Martin, Powerhouse Hobbs, The Acclaimed, these are great in-ring guys. Like, they're great in the ring. There's nothing compelling about what they're doing. You don't really know a whole lot about them. The character development, I don't think, is very good. And this is something that I really think that AEW needs to work on. And like I said, a lot of people agreed with me. Some disagreed because that's always going to happen. But a lot of people did agree. What are your thoughts on character development and storyline outside of the top tier?
Outside the top tier. So depending on what's up with like Leo right now, I think that the Dante stuff has been really good. A nice slow burn. I think the Wardlow MJF stuff has been good. There's a lot of stuff that still is left to be desired. Like, what or who is Jay Lethal besides a guy that I've seen wrestle in ROH and pops up every once in a while? I don't know. FTR kind of take it upon themselves. I think there should be more attention to detail there. They're starting with Statlander and Layla, but I got to see more. Why isn't Thunder Rosa on TV all the time? Why isn't, like, she's a big star. I think they could do a little bit better there. I and now this is from the outside looking in, because I don't know the degree of creative in which Tony Khan has, but there were some shows towards the end of 2020 or 2019, beginning of 2020, that were bad. He took more control of the creative. It got a lot better, but only one person can only do so much. So I don't know if they need to format things a little bit differently. I mean, you know who you're going to see there. And sometimes it feels like they're just treading water until they get to a certain thing. Then other times I think they knock it out of the park. I think it's inconsistent, but I think I'm more forgiving of it because there's none of that on the other show. You know what I mean? There's none of it.
I guess it depends on who it is. Like, the difference is that Raw now, it feels like the roster is really stripped down. Like, they don't have a lot of talent, and so they're using a lot of people that they do have. Whereas, you know, AEW, they don't have multiple brands. They got one brand. The roster is massive. I don't have a problem with cycling guys in and out. We've talked about that before. I don't mind them doing that because it keeps guys fresh. You know, you keep Moxley off for a month or two. You bring him back. He's hot. That's fine. But I just find that so many guys, like you said, treading water, I think, is a good way to put it. There's just nothing compelling happening. Like, watching Dynamite as a viewer, I found a lot of it boring, because I had no reason to care. I had no reason to invest emotionally into a lot of the talent that was on that show. And like I said, the Punk MJF Wardlow stuff is cool. Kind of a retread of the MJF Jericho stuff a little bit. Yeah. But it's still cool. Britt Baker, well, obviously,
I
is
think
great.
It's more of a retread of Batista Triple H is the Wardlow MJF stuff. I don't think it's
not Wardlow MJF, Punk MJF.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so sort of.
But at least it's still kind of a compelling thing because of the Wardlow element makes it a compelling thing. And Britt Baker's really good. And you know, Cole and those guys are really good. Like I said, a lot of the mid and lower card guys, I feel like treading water is kind of a good way to put it. I have no reason to invest emotionally into them. And it's great that you have all these great in-ring guys, but they're all the same when you don't give the viewer a reason to care about them. And that's something that I think that they got to work on.
Yeah, I think, and I see these being mentioned in the chat, bringing some guys on like Freddie Prinze Jr. or Gabe Sapolsky. Gabe Sapolsky has experience in pretty high level booking. Mm-hmm. Freddie Prinze Jr. knows what it's like to be an actual functioning human adult in show business as well. And not to say Tony doesn't, but it's like a lot of times the writers that they hire, just some of the in wrestling companies, their dialogue is so bad. Like, I think that's why Jimmy Jacobs is so good outside of that underworld bullshit on Impact. Like, if you look at him, you'd be like, he probably has a normal everyday living experience. Isn't like a dork or anything like that. He can write for athletic people. You know what I mean?
He isn't like a dork or anything like that.
They've had some people that very clearly had never brushed up against a butt writing some dialogue in WWE. It's bad sometimes.
Well, speaking of AEW, I want your thoughts on this one. So the beloved Toronto Star, and I'm being sarcastic, the beloved Toronto Star here in my town of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, they published a story, and the title of the story was, "Can Tony Khan's AEW beat Vince McMahon and WWE at its own game?"
Yeah.
As part of that story, WWE issued a statement to the Star, and they were referencing the women's street fight from Rampage with Penelope Ford, The Bunny, Ty Conti, and Anna Jay, where they got blood. And this is the statement. I'm going to read it, and I would love your thoughts on it. They said, "If you look at the gory self-mutilation that bloodied several women in the December 31 event on TNT, it quickly becomes clear that these are very different businesses. We had an edgier product in the Attitude Era, and in a 2022 world, we don't believe that type of dangerous and brutal display is appealing to network partners, sponsors, venues, children, or the general public as a whole."
Buddy, I watch zombies eat people's fucking brains out of their skulls on TV and watched it for a long time. I watched a guy cook meth and murder people. Like, what the hell are they talking about? What on earth are they talking about? My favorite show is about money laundering for the cartel. Like, what the fuck are they talking about? Unreal. It's just, I don't care that they said it. Like, who gives a shit? It's just so stupid. It's just so stupid.
Yeah. Let's move on. Let's move on. Something positive for a change, okay? Okay. Maurice.
She's awesome. She's incredible.
I love how my wife, every time they're on television, my wife will say, "How the hell did The Miz get Maurice? She's way out of his league. Doesn't make any sense." My wife will say that every time they're on television together. Maurice is a joy to watch.
She's so good.
I love the dynamic between them. I love how, and I got to say, she makes The Miz better.
Yeah.
Because I love how Miz is out there trying to speak French, and she's always got to correct him, and he's speaking Spanish half the time, and she's got to correct him, and they have a really great dynamic together. I really enjoy those two together. And my question for you is, do you think that we might see more couples do intergender tags on WWE television? Because there's, as we know, several more couples, like Corey Graves just got cleared. He's engaged to Carmella. Of course, you got Jimmy Uso and Naomi. Of course, you got Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Wouldn't surprise me. Edge wanted to tag with Beth.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Edge wants to do something with Seth and Becky.
And now we see Adam Cole and Britt Baker tonight. I think we're going to see a lot more of it, especially ones that are confident that they'll be booked competently together.
Right.
To me, you should have done Edge and Beth against Becky and Seth.
Yes.
Like, that was the no-brainer. Like, Becky filming Seth Rollins as he tries on his new suits, and like, you just hear her voice from behind the camera, would have been so good.
And I think, you know, I don't know how confident Maurice is going to be in the ring. Mm-hmm. Because she's been away for a long time, and you know, Becky's in her prime, And Beth, I think, can still go. So I think that Beth and Becky probably would have given you a better match. Maybe I'm wrong and Maryse will be perfectly fine, but it seems like, you know, she's been out for a while and she might be lacking confidence a little bit.
Maryse hasn't wrestled in almost 3.5 years. She's wrestled 3 matches in the last decade.
Right.
So I'm not expecting her to exactly go out there and do Canadian destroyers off an apron through a table. Although at this point, who knows? Who knows? But yeah, I think we'll see more of this in wrestling in general.
Game Changer Wrestling. So this Sunday, January 13, they've got their sold out show at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. It's going to be their biggest crowd ever. I don't know how many tickets they've sold, but I know that then you can hold about 2,500 people. Yeah, I can hold about 2,500 people. And all you can say is Brett Lauderdale's done a great job. They truly present a variety show. Yep. You know, I know that WWE and AEW, sometimes they like to refer to themselves as a variety show. GCW is truly a variety show because you've got your deathmatch style stuff. They got the comedy stuff. They've got pure in-ring stuff. I think they've done a great job. And when you look at, you know, they've had AEW participate with some of their wrestlers, Ring of Honor. Matt Cardona had his resurgence there working with Nick Gage. Mm-hmm. Jeff Jarrett is involved now in Game Changer Wrestling.
I love it. It's that perfect mix of sometimes you get technical wrestling, sometimes a brawl. If they save the deathmatch stuff for the end, in case you're not into that.
They have to anyway, it's a mess, yeah.
You'll have to, or you have like Jeff Jarrett pop up, Ricky Morton, Too Cold Scorpio, like all kinds of people. It's that good mix of up-and-coming indie, established TV stars, and legends. And it's fun. And I tell you what, if you ever go, look at our friend Ali Cease, I was just about to talk about the demographic. There is a heavy female demographic at these shows. The 18 to 34 female demographic in GCW is so much higher than a lot of places that I see. Like they create that environment that so many different kinds of people want to see.
Yeah, it is a true variety show. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily work on network television. So, like, you know, AEW, like I said, I know Tony Khan has positioned AEW as being like that, too, a variety show. You can't necessarily get away with some of the stuff, I don't think, on a nationwide stage. But the niche that GCW has created, I think they're doing a fantastic job. And Brett Lauderdale deserves a lot of credit, as do people like Matt Cardona, who have really done a lot to market them. Every time Matt Cardona is in a program, him and his opponent go apeshit on social media.
It's great. It's like, so great.
They do a lot.
We're going to have a post show on Fightful this weekend because we know it's a big show. So Steven Jensen will be bringing you guys that. Sheila saying GCW is guaranteed hype. Man, it's good to see. It's good to see because I wondered if indie wrestling would recover after the pandemic. And it hasn't all the way recovered, but it's looking promising. I don't know if we'll ever get to like 2017 when there's Flow Slam and PWG and all that stuff and everything's got interest in it, but I'm happy with how things are right now. And Fight has been a great help for that as well. Fight broadcasting, all this stuff. There was buzz for Terminus this past weekend. Right. Incredible amount of buzz. Pro Wrestling Unlimited said thoughts on their Hall of Fame show the night before. I love that they're doing that because they are in the position to do that. The night before that, we had Zicky Dice's Outlandish Paradise, which was a main page Twitch show. For the love of God, Johnny Gargano was doing a co-stream of that. Like,
really?
Yes, there's so many things out there right now. Warriors coming back and doing well. I would expect Black Label Pro to return with a vengeance. It's good to see.
Awesome. Last thing on my list. So WWE confirmed that on Saturday, February 19th, they're bringing back the Elimination Chamber and they're bringing it back, of course, in Saudi Arabia. Dave Meltzer is reporting that WWE is toying with the idea of calling it the WrestleMania Elimination Chamber.
That's a dumb idea.
Have you heard anything about that? Because obviously last year they did WrestleMania Backlash. Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard Dave's report, but I haven't heard anything within the company. I mean, it's a dumb idea. It's a stupid idea. Not Dave's fault. He just reported it. He just reported their stupid idea. Unfortunately, been on that end of things several times, but it's so stupid. Greg says, Sands of Elimination. Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, and I should note that the statement actually referred to it as the Elimination Chamber Premium Live Event. That's what the statement said.
Yeah, well, Fightful Select reported that it was coming back and that they had been discussing this as far back as October about bringing it there.
Right. That's a hell of a set to bring over there, man.
I think they're going to leave it there.
Okay.
You're going to do there. I think they're going to leave one there. Yeah.
How many years at the end? Three? This year three?
Of what?
Their deal with Saudi.
No, 18, 19. They didn't do one in 20. So 21, 22.
They're into year four.
So they're in year four because they just they said they would tack that on.
Yep.
But it, I mean, technically it's year five, but they didn't do one. Well, they did one show in 2020.
Yeah, but they got to move the others. They got to move the others.
Yeah. So, I mean, year five, really.
Wow. Okay, that's all I got for you, bud.
Till next time, guys. We're out.